It's a strange time of the year that we finish with Chanukah, the Oyer of Chanukah. We move into the dark days of Teves, Ches Tes, Yud of Teves, and we're about to move into another mysterious time of year called Shovavim. The Shovavim weeks, Shemois Va'era, Boi B'Shalach, Yisroi Mishpatim. In a leap year, it involves Trumat Tzav as well. Some are familiar with extra tefillahs that are said at this time of year. Shovavim, which means literally sort of wayward, Shuvavonim, Shovavim, return wayward children, from the word Shuv, which has elements of teshuvah, but its opposite, which is to move away. Within all of this, the sedras are never accidentally occur. The sedras, as is well known, to do with Chanukah, in particular, Vayeshev, etc. Continue Vayigash, and into Vayechi. Vayechi is the sedra that we're about to lay in this Shabbos. It closes the book. It closes Sefer Bereishis. It's the bridge between Bereishis and Shemot. But it not only does it close the book, it is a bit of a closed book itself. For the Baalei Kriya, it's familiar that it's actually quite difficult to find in the Sefer Torah because it's mid-paragraph. It doesn't start a new paragraph. Rashi zeroes in on that straight away, and he says, Loma parasha zu stuma, why is it closed off? Why are we mid-paragraph? Lefi shekiven shenifta Yaakov avinu nistumu einem libom shel Yisrael mitzaras hashibud shetchilu shabdom. As soon as Yaakov avinu was nifta, the eyes and the hearts of Klal Yisrael, the eyes and the heart of Klal Yisrael, were closed up, stopped up, because of the tzorah of the shibud, shishchilu l'shabdom, that they began to be meshabadim, which wasn't straight away, wasn't immediate, so there's obviously something else rather than the actual physical shibud. And then there's a dova acher, in Russian there's a dova acher, it's expressing the same point from a different angle, shibikesh legalis zakeitz. Not for the first time, Yaakov Avinu wanted something which is then removed from him. We saw this in Vayeshev. Bikesh legalis haketz. He wanted to reveal the ketz, the vonov, to his children. V'nista mimenu, and this was closed off from him. It's hard to see where Vayechi starts. It's hard to see where the Shibud itself starts. It's in this bridge between Bereishis and Shemois somehow is the beginning of the Golus. Now, if you go back to Vayigash, it all looked quite promising when Yaakov Avinu is told, Al tiro meridom Mitzrayim, or don't be afraid from going down to Mitzrayim. So Chazal asks, what do you mean don't be afraid? You're going to Mitzrayim. It's the worst place to go. And amongst the various perushim that are given, there's the idea that as long as you remember that you are in Golus, you don't need to be afraid. Obviously, there's the immediate, but in terms of forgetting who you are, forgetting where you are, forgetting where you should be, as long as you remember that there's something to be afraid of, then altiro. It's almost like people think it's just a cliche, but it's not. When mashkichim will tell the bochum before they leave that you can only leave yeshiva when you know that you can't leave. Which was that one of those riddles that my rov is trying to tell me? No, it's you understand that when you're attached there and the real world is the olam haTorah, the real world is a world where I'm connected, then that's something to be less afraid. And in that sedra, in Vayigash, we have the names of those who came down to Mitzrayim. People think it starts in Shemois, but actually no, already in Vayigash it names Reuven and some of his family, Shimon and his, Yehuda, etc. It goes through all of the people who came down to Mitzrayim, Habo'o Mitzrayim or Shivim, 70, and all different droshas that are said about the 70. And then it moves into Yehuda being sent to Yosef, which we'll come back to a little bit later. into this week's Sedra, into Vayechi, again, is looking promising, because even though Yaakov Avinu is about to leave, he's going to give his last will and testament, where he gives out the brochos. The brochos are a beautiful thing. The brochos are something which are very positive. But a closer look, you can already see that he's worried. He's worried, firstly, in the content of what he says. You heard it even steps backwards. Yehuda Atzo Yeducha Achera, says Rashi, because Yehuda had already seen what had been expressed to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Not only that, Yaakov, anyway, himself, just before he's given the brachos, he's actually afraid of being stuck in Mitzrayim after death. He even needs Yosef to make a shavua to make sure that he doesn't remain in Mitzrayim. And the truth is that the three reasons that Chazal give us, at least three, that Rashi quotes three, and they are connected with Golus and Geula, Ayin Shom. If we had time, each one we could go into. But then the brachos themselves, so we understand, of course, that self being stuck in Mitzrayim is being stuck in Golus. Even the content, even how he begins the brachos, he says, "Hey, v'agidu lachem eis ashe yikro eschem ba'achris hayomim." Let me tell you how it's going to be at the end of days, which apparently Rashi had said that he didn't know, because it had been nistam imenu. So again, needs some explanation. But achris hayomim also implies the idea of a geula from a golus. So there is something very, very dark that's going on over here. And the more you look at this, the more you peel away the layers, the more you see the elements of this and the worry that Yaakov Avinu has in the fact that people can lose their identity. People can lose their way in the dark. People can really, really forget where they are, who they are. Just before he gives the brachas to the actual Shvatim, so Yosef comes in with Menashe and Ephraim, and it says, just find the pasuk, Vayar Yisrael es b'nei Yosef, he saw the children of Yosef, he said, Vayomim, who are they? Well, what's going on? Because either there was a moment where Ruach HaKodesh was removed from him, or he's worried because he sees who is descended from them, those who could potentially lead Klal Yisrael astray. You've got Yerovam and Yehu, and themselves potential questions, Gemaras and Chelek Yerovam ben Nevat, who was originally a Tzaddik Gomor. You see the Gemaras that said about him and how he was Machti Es Yisrael when he went down the wrong path. Yehu seems to be somebody who does everything. He gets rid of Avodas Habal, and somehow they lead people on the wrong path towards something which will end up with a Golus. So Yaakov says to Yosef, who are they? And Yosef, don't worry, they're my children. Oh, and please take them and give them a bracha. And he gives them a bracha. What a bracha is as well. It also, I wish we had more time to look into. But when he gives them the bracha itself, he says the words, V'yikarev hem shemi, v'sheim avoyse avrom v'yitzchot v'yidgur v'kerev ha'oretz. He's got references to the concept of a name. They'll be called through my name. And the kiruve m'shimon yiyuli, they should be like Reuven and Shimon, invoking names the whole time. Even the name Yisrael, as the name, special name that he was given, there's something about the fact that when they are recognizable, when they have their name, their shame, then they're roi for brocha. When they don't, then it's closed off. You can't see. There's a loss of this. Perhaps the biggest example is that's why I said Vayechi is this bridge. And if this was Shemos this week, the whole of this idea would be based in Shemos itself. But if it's sneak preview, spoiler alert for Shemos, this is a sedra called Shemos, which means names names in a book, in a sefer called Shemos. And again, like we said about this idea, starting off promisingly, It goes through Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Hudu, Sochas, Volun, and Binyamin, Don, Naphtali, God, Asher. So it goes through all the names, and it, oh yeah, that's why it must be called Shemos. And I often say to classes that I teach that one of my obsessions is the Sedra name. If there is the name of the Sedra, we know that it's not just the first convenient word, it's the theme of the Sedra. So it starts off with Shemos. And then suddenly, as soon as it says that Yosef and his brothers died, the names disappear. In a Sedra called Shemois, in a Sefer called Shemois, it's Vayokom Melech Chodosh, Shelo Yodas Yosef, someone who didn't recognize Yosef. He, the king, says to his people, let's take counsel, let's enslave them. Then it says that the king of Mitzrayim, doesn't say Paro at this stage, or that Paro is a generic name. He says to the midwives, we'll come back to them in a minute, tells them what to do with any children who are born. And the next time we find references to other people, there's a whole to and fro between the Melech Mitzrayim and the Mialdos. The next piece begins, Vayelech Ish Mibeis Levi. A man went from the house of Levi. Vayikach esbas Levi. And he took the daughter of Levi, married the daughter of Levi. Who are these people? Amram and Yocheved. Doesn't say. How do I know? Only by looking at the following Sedra. It doesn't say it over here. And what's wrong with saying Amram? I think it's quite a nice name personally. But Vayikach esbas Levi. So Yocheved, why doesn't it say her name? So Yocheved, there's obviously something about the fact that she's the one who's born Beina Choymos. As they're coming down, there's an element of Shibud that's going on over there. But the names are deliberately removed. The Chazal speak about this as well, possibly also to emphasize that one of the ideas is that we know that the Moshiach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends is a human being, and don't think anything otherwise. But still, no name. Vatar Ho'isha. A tailored bain. She couldn't hide, so she took, she, no, she put the child. Then who comes to watch him? Miriam, doesn't say her name, just says Vatesatsav, his sister, the nameless one's sister, sits or stands, or stations herself at a distance just to make sure that he's okay. Vatered Bas Paroi, the daughter of Paroi, doesn't say her name. Every child in school knows that it's Bisyo, Basyo, how do we know? You have to go all the way to Divrei Yomim to find out her name. Doesn't say it here. The Naru Seho, she sees it. The sister says, the daughter of Paro. Shall I call her a nursemaid? The daughter of Paro says, the young girl goes to get the mother of the child. The daughter of Paro says, again and again, the child grew up. Finally, he gets a name. Now we know, Chazal tell us, Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 names. The one that we know him by is the one that ostensibly seems to be his Egyptian name, Moshe. But other than that, you know, it goes on. Two men are fighting. Doesn't say the name. We sort of know about it. You have to go really, except the occasional mention after all this episode, there's Moshe, apart from Moshe being mentioned, you have to wait till Vo'era, where basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ushmi Hashem lo yinoidati lahem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own name lo yinoidati lahem. It requires an unlocking of a code, which only Serach Bas Osher has, Pokod Yifkod code, as they say. The fact that all these names disappear, but it's something about, you have to tell them. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, what should I tell them? This is going all the way into Va'era. Oh, tell them that it's going to be that I'm coming to release them. Finally, as you know, then the names are mentioned again, and then as you know, if they ask me who sent you, what's your name? He says, oh, I'll tell them Ekye Shlochani Aleichem. We have a name. So it's very, very mysterious. The disappearance of names, beginning of Shibud. There's obviously going to be some kind of connection between all of that. Now, the word itself, shame, is the same letters, Chazal tell us, as shom, which means there. This is not accidental. If you ask somebody to define the word there, as in T-H-E-R-E, if I walked into a room with you and you said to me, with your eyes closed and hands behind your back, sit on that chair. If there's only one chair in the room, that's fine. As soon as there's more than one chair, I would say which chair, unless it is something which is predefined. Shom there means something which is predefined, otherwise it makes no sense. If, you know, otherwise it would be sit on a chair. The fact that it's there is something which is defining, something which is, that's why Chazal tells us as well that the final place that a person goes to in Shomayim is called, well, it's called Shomayim because it's a combination of everything. You are exactly where you're meant to be. Exactly where you're meant to be. That's the defining point after a person leaves this world. The fact that they are about to go into Golus, or the Golus is beginning, is this potential fear of a loss of identity. When there's a loss of identity, loss of way, there's a loss of Shom. I don't know where I'm meant to be. And it, once you start digging away at this, you see this is astonishing, and really, we could spend 3-4 hours on this and maybe just scratch the tip of the iceberg. If you look at what we mentioned earlier in Vayigash, after all of those names are mentioned, it tells us that Yehuda shalach lefonov el Yosef. Yehuda was sent. He sent. Yaakov sent ahead of him to Yosef, Lahirois lefonov goshna, Lahirois. Lahirois, I mean, to teach, to show, to prepare. So, again, one of these things that every child correctly learns is that before they arrived, Yehuda was sent to make sure there was an infrastructure set up. This is a model all the way through Golos. You see the same thing happens in Golos Bovel. This is a forerunner for everything else. To make sure, Yehuda sent to Yosef to make sure that there's something is set up in this, again, mysterious place called Goshen. Chasam Sofer and others point out that Goshen was the piece of land that was given to Sora Imenu after she was kidnapped, and the gifts that he gave to Sora and to Sorai, actually, I think at the time, could be wrong, and Avram, he gives them Goshen, and they explain that Goshen was somehow, in some way that perhaps we don't fully understand, was almost like a piece of Eretz Yisrael in Mitzrayim, which is preparing what's happening over here, and that's why there are also certain connections. The Gemara which tells us Rabbi Akiva woke up his students, he saw they were falling asleep, and he makes the correlation between 127 years that Sora Imenu lived in, 127 provinces that Esther ruled over or was Mezakah Achashverosh to, and the summer. It's also to do with somehow having a when one is in Golus, at least having some kind of firm root, Goshen-like in this. And you realize, actually, I know I don't have tons of time, but it's actually the inverse of what happens in the Hanukkah story. Because one of the strangest things that we know about the Hanukkah story is when you look at the Arba Golios, the four exiles, so you have Bovel, the Babylonian exile. You have Poros and Modai, Persian Media, that's when the Purim story happened. Yovon, Greece, that's the Chanukah story. And Edoin, the one which we are still in, and again, we could speak for hours about each one of these. But the Yovon Golus is unique because if one's not thinking, and you say, oh, where did the Babylonian exile happen? Well, Bovel. Where did the Persian exile happen? In Persia. Where did the Edom, well, sort of wrote every, yeah. And the Greek exile must have happened in Greece. Oh no, it couldn't have happened in Greece because there was the whole. So this was a Golus in Eretz Yisrael. So without there being even a Golus, they're in Golus. This is the inverse of what's happening with Goshen. They have a Golus happening where they're not even displaced. So the truth is, Golus isn't necessarily just a physical thing. Golus can be a state of mind. A person can be not where they're meant to be here in their mind, and they are in a state of Golus. And the fact is that's leaving all politics aside. It's nothing to do with politics. The fact is that until we have a Beis HaMikdash, you could be living on the doorsteps of where the Beis HaMikdash should stand. You could be living by the Kotel itself, but we're still in Golus until there is a Beis HaMikdash. Goshen is this idea that there is somehow a piece of Eretz Yisrael, which needs a lot of explanation, really still needs further explanation. And what's going on with Yehuda being sent ahead? So in the Torah of last week, so you have psukim from Yecheskel, where Yecheskel is told, Kach lecho eitzecho, take one piece of wood, stick, branch, v'chsoiv olav Lihuda, write on it Yehuda, or Lihuda, take another one and write on it Yosef, and you put them together. It's almost like the broken or fixed game that people play, you know, Seder night with the matzah, and the, or, you know, with carrot on a normal, and is it broken or is it fixed? You put them together and suddenly it's all one. What kind of game is being played? Obviously it's not a game. There is something where Yecheskel is told, take these two things, put them together, and there's an achdus. Suddenly it becomes one eight, one piece of wood, and that's meant to be a resolution of the golas. That's somehow meant to lead to a geula. Now, we understand, the B'nai Yisoscha talks about this, actually he talks about this with regards to the dreidel. It's a quite an incredible thing, beautiful, beautiful idea. That if we think for 1 minute that the dreidel story, here's one thing that I think we do get wrong when we were younger. It's right, but it's wrong. And it's not a mikra that's yotzei midei pshuto, but still. What's the story that we always learned about what happened with the dreidel? So the Greeks know that Klal Yisrael are either Hellenizing, or they are running away to the mountains to learn Torah, because if they're in the mountains, they clearly want to rebel. So the Greeks are coming looking for Jewish warriors, learners, combination, and so they go into men looking for Jews. So you've got the little children who are there on the outside, either already playing or waiting. Oh, the Greeks are coming, quick, put the scrolls away. And get the dreidels out and start playing the dreidels. And the Greeks, who have been searching in these very, very sort of dangerous places, finally find some Jews who are not in the city, so they're clearly not those who are looking to be Greek. And they say, hey, there are some Jews there. Maybe they're learning. Oh, don't worry, we can go away now. They're doing the dreidel thing. It's fine. Like, obviously, there must be something deeper going on here. It can't just be that maybe it would work once or twice, but it's almost like people who take the idea of trying to, why do we not blow the shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah to as a bribe to the Satan, shochad for the Satan, to trick him. It's clearly deeper than that, because after the first or second year, the Satan would have, there's obviously something else that is going on over here. So the B'nai Yisoscha says, interestingly enough, the minhag, the idea of, and he talks about it in the greatest terms of there being, and I know it's way beyond Hanukkah now, but the originally dreidels were not made out of clay, even though the song says so. They were made out of wood, and it was meant to be like the Eitz Echod. It was meant to be a represent an achdus. It's four sides on it. He says it's the idea of the secret of the idea of what we call. I mean, it's used in a pejorative term nowadays in the concept of the wandering Jew. But the idea of the Yidin Golus is this idea of what the dreidel is. It spins and spins and spins. When does it stop? The song is, nobody knows. But it stops when it falls on its side. When we feel settled, when we say, I think it was the Arsameach who said, O Elohim Shekorin LeBerlin Yerushalayim, yes, 60, 70 years before we know what happened, when suddenly we forget that we're not really in. I had a teacher in primary school who used to call me. There may be people who decide to watch this afterwards, and I'm not in Golders Green, but I grew up in Golders Green. There was one of my rebbe who used to call it Goshen Green. Mm-hmm. I think part of it is to understand that we're in that we're in Golders, and as soon as we start thinking to ourselves, oh, it's fine, it's okay. Yeah, I do love visiting Eretz Yisrael, but this is not. As soon as you realize that the dreidel has stopped. The dreidel has stopped spinning. There are four sides on that dreidel because there are four directions, north, south, east, west. There's a midpoint, which are the axis upon which the dreidel actually spins. When we're not in Golus, where we're meant to be, that's a state of Geula. That's a state of Gilui. Geula and Golus, the Maharal says, and many times in Chazal, they are very much connected, that the central point is Geula. And look again now at these words, Ves Yehuda Sholach Lefonov. Go back to Ayud. So Yehuda is sent, and the B'nai Sosel goes on to explain that we know that the resolution of Golus, i.e. the Geula, is when Moshiach comes. Moshiach is not just a concept. Moshiach is there's a Moshiach ben David and a Moshiach ben Yosef. I'm sure what the Amkus is on each one. And there's meant to be a meeting of the two, what each one represents. And Chazal speak about the two pathways, the pathway of the Tzadik Gomor and the pathway of the Baal Teshuvah. But both of them are meant to meet for you, le'et echod. They're meant to be an eight echod. And when you've done that, and by the way, it's Ves Yehuda Sholach Lefonov, for the biblical Hebrew fans and guilty as charged, will know that that's a pluperfect. So it's not Vayishlach Yehuda, it's Ves Yehuda Sholach. He had already done it, been prepared. This is something which is Refuah Kodem the Makor. So Yehuda and Yosef are there together to create this Achdus. So B'nai Sosra points out that we know that why are there four exiles? Partly to do with the four directions, north, south, east, west. Partly to do with the fact that there are four names in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's to do with existence, which is Hoya, Hoya, Veva, Yehyeh. So the Yud, the K, the Vav, the K, those four letters, each one of those letters, Chazal tell us, represents one of the Arba Golios when things go wrong. Yehuda has, again, this is Yodua, has the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but with a Dalit there in the middle. He's ma'achid them. Ma'achid them, the Dalit, the fourness into one. This is the same idea that you see Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that when that Yaakov suddenly, he can't speak to Yosef because he's saying Shema. We understand the Amkus there. It's because he realizes that mitoso shlemo, it's all together. There's an Achdus, the Achdus, the Echad we know, is the Aleph is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, amongst the various pshatim, but the main idea, the Ches and the Dalet are the Bnei Gavuris, the Bnei Shvachos, and you've got the Dalet, which is when there's an Achdus, they all come together to that. That's why he's saying Shema actually at that point. So there are two ways to make the dreidel stop, so to speak. One of them is the negative way, which is when we are in Golus and it just falls over, and you're in one of those ideas, one of those places. The other one is when you return to the point you're meant to be, when you return to the Shom, and that's when the names return. In Va'eros, it is Shmi Hashem, Ekei Shlochani, Pokoid Yifkoid. Pokoid is lashon the idea of a remembering. There's a number of translations of that word, but that is the idea. Where was this very first Golus? And I know I've got about. I think maybe I've gone over, I'm not sure. But the very first Golus itself was the pitui of the Nochosh. Adam and Chava there in Gan Eden, you see Golus after Golus after Golus. Imagine, even in the Sedra Bereshis, even in the first few Psukim of Bereshis, to tell you the truth. You have the Nochosh, which is, it takes us away from the Tachlis. The Nochosh is replete in Mitzrayim as well. The whole time you find the Nochosh appearing. And it's to do with the Makkos, to do with the Oisos, etc. This is going on. But really, Nochosh, which was used as a symbol of Kishuv by the Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu shows that no, he holds it by the tail. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the only one who's in control. That is what eventually leads to a geula, a resolution of the Nochosh. Is Moshiach is gemach of Nochosh? Chazal tell us it's also the gemach of Goshna, by the way, it's Yehuda Shalafon of Goshna, which is also the Oisus of Nun Gimel Eishin, the Oisus of the Dreidel. These are all things that Bnei Sosra points out. This is all the pathway to the Eitz Echad, which is Moshiach, the end of the wandering Jew. Yes, negative if we forget that we're in Golus, but it's positive if we understand that we're returning to this central point, to Eretz Yisrael. Why the pain for Eretz Yisrael dreidels is perhaps for another time. So as long as Yaakov Avinu is alive, so he has this fear, a fear of loss of a shame, of the name, a loss of identity. Yaakov Avinu loy meis, though, even though it seems to be that he does Yaakov Avinu loy meis because he gave the brochus. He gave brochus, which is a pathway back to Geula, a pathway back to Eretz Yisrael, even through the darkest times, and that's physically and emotionally, psychologically, and above all, the ruchnius way in which we have to find our way back. In that way, the shame, when you say it's a shame, but if we understand that it's a shame in Shin Mem, and there are so many other things which we have that helps us live. It's a Shem Chai, it's the Oisius Moshiach. But these are things to consider when we close the Book of Bereshis and everything seems hemmed in and closed, but leads into Sefer Shemos, which reveals HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and a Ge'ulah and a resolution to Shovavim. I'm sorry if I rushed that at the end, and things that didn't make sense are from the recesses of my mind. Mm. The things that did make sense are the things from my Rebbeim. Thank you.
Amen.